ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 7, Text Number 14.
Tesham Kupasham Kupata Jestinam Patatam Tasmahyada Patatam Tamasihyada Yeshadadhyuvachastevai Majadhyashma Plavaiva Desham Kupata Jeshtinam Patatam Tamasihyada Yeshadadhyuvachastevai Majantyasma Plavaiva.
Leaders who have fallen into ignorance and whom and who mislead people by directing them to the path of destruction, as described in the previous verse, are in effect boarding a stone boat, and so too are those who blindly follow them. A stone boat would be unable to float and would sink in the water with its passengers. Similarly, those who mislead people go to hell, and their followers go with them. Purport. As stated in the Vedic literature, Bhagavatam, 11.20.17, Nui deham adyam sulabham sudulabham plavam sukalpam guru karna dharam. We, the conditioned souls, have fallen in the ocean of nations. But the human body fortunately provides us a good opportunity to cross the ocean, because the human body is like a very good boat. When directed by a spiritual master acting as the captain, the boat can very easily cross the ocean. Furthermore, the boat is helped across by favorable winds, which are the instructions of Vedic knowledge. If one does not take advantage of all these facilities to cross the ocean of nations, he is certainly committing suicide. One who boards a boat made of stone is doomed. To be elevated to the stage of perfection, humanity must first give up false leaders who present boats of stone. All of human society is in such a dangerous position that to be rescued, it must abide by the standard instructions of the Vedas. The cream of these instructions appears in the form of Bhagavad Gita. One should not take shelter of any other instructions, for Bhagavad Gita gives direct instructions on how to fulfill the aim of human life. Lord Shri Krishna therefore says, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamikam Saranam Braja. Give up all other processes of religion and simply surrender to me. Even if one does not accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his instructions are so exalted and beneficial for humanity that if one follows his instructions, one will be saved. Otherwise, one will be cheated by unauthorized meditation and gymnastic methods of yoga. Thus, one will board boat of stone which will sink and drown all its passengers. Unfortunately, although the American people are extremely eager to get out of materialistic chaos, they are sometimes found to patronize the makers of stone boats. That will not help them. They must take the proper boat offered by Krishna in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement. Then they will be easily saved. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, Ashmamaya plavo yesham te yata majantam plavam anumajanti tateti raja nityupadesh tishu sva savyeshu kopo vyanjita. If society is guided by political diplomacy, with one nation maneuvering against another, it will certainly sink like a stone boat. Political maneuvering and diplomacy will not save human society. People must take to Krishna consciousness to understand the aim of life, to understand God, and to fulfill the human mission. Fallen into ignorance and who mislead. Very instructive verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And it helps us to understand the importance of knowing who to follow. The verse specifically is speaking about or referring to the previous verse. And in the previous verse, it is stated that if a person says one who is situated on the exalted throne of a king should not stand up to show respect to another king or a Brahmin, it is to be understood that he does not know the superior religious principles. In other words, one has to be careful to not become proud by one's external position that he has achieved, by whatever means. Pride, as we know, is this expression goes, pride comes before the fall. And here we see in this particular example, in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, what happened to Indra when he became proud of his wealth, of his worship, of his abode, of his control. He failed to recognize the presence of Brihaspati, his spiritual master, when he had entered the assembly. And Brihaspati quit that. He left. Of course, he did not curse, but in essence, we understand that Indra lost everything because of his disrespect to his spiritual master or to the presence of a superior, which essentially is the example which is being taught, that in the presence of one's superior, one should never think that it is not necessary to offer respect. So, why would something like that happen? In Indra's case, it is described that he became proud. A proud person thinks that the criteria of his success is based upon the accumulation of external trappings. A person may be proud of their wealth, they may be proud of their position, they may be proud of their beauty. There are so many examples of persons who became proud, and due to that pride, they did not give appropriate respect to the presence of a superior. So many examples. example, of course, is very instructive. Also, there's that verse quoted in relationship to that example of it was quoted by I think Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When a person mistreats great souls, then his lifespan, his opulence, his reputation, his religion, his possessions, and his good fortune are all destroyed by mistreating great souls. That is a verse Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke when Amoga had offended Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya had come to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's home and prepared so many different offerings for the Lord's pleasure. And Amoga, seeing things externally, was thinking that a sannyasi has come, and look at the quantity of food that he is eating, it's sufficient for 12 men. And of course, Amoga, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he heard these words, he became furious, and Amoga saw, anticipated that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was going to deal with him appropriately. And when he picked up a stick and began chasing him, Amoga realized it was time to flee. And subsequently what happened is that Amoga became very ill. Of course, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, even before that, he was condemning himself. I've invited the Lord to my home to offer him such a wonderful feast. But as a result of inviting him, he's only been offended. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's wife, she was crying out when she understood the offense that was committed. Let my daughter Sati become a widow. She wanted that Amoga be sufficiently punished for his great offense and be killed. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was thinking similarly also. He said that actually that my son-in-law should be killed, or I should give up my body. But the problem is we're both Brahmins. We both result, both actions would be committing or against scriptural injunctions to kill a Brahmin. But he was actually wanting that. But then when he heard that night, Amoga came down very sick and came down with cholera. He understood. He quoted that. Actually, he quoted another verse also. He quoted the verse from the Mahabharata where it's described that what we have accomplished by or prepared for with great endeavor by collecting horses, chariots, elephants, and infantrymen has already been accomplished without any endeavor at all by the Gandhavas. I think that verse from Mahabharata was quoted also by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, which specifically was with relationship to the Kauravas. Bhimasena quoted that verse, that the Kauravas, they were arrested by the Gandhavas while the Pandavas were in exile. And out of fear, they sent their ministers and to negotiate with the Pandavas with Yudhishthira Maharaj to get their help to come and to assist them in their battle against the Gandhavas. And Bhimasena said, what we could have arranged by gathering so many infantry, horses, soldiers, and chariots has already been perfectly accomplished by the Gandhavas. We didn't have to do anything. It was already been arranged. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was also thinking, what I could have arranged for the death of my son-in-law, it's already been arranged by Providence. I wanted it, but Providence already took care of it. So he was quite happy in understanding that his son-in-law was sufficiently punished for his great offense. I'm speaking about Mayada Vyatikrama and you're walking in. What should I do? Actually, I asked Maharaj for his blessings to speak before I came here. So, with his blessings, I am speaking. Although, certainly, he should be here speaking to all of you. And I should not be speaking in the presence of such a great soul. But on the strength of his blessing, I've gained sufficient confidence to continue to speak. So, point is that warning is given to be very careful to not become excessively proud. Prabhupada, of course, in his commentary, he's establishing this principle. He's also speaking about human society. Because in essence, the example of the stone boat, he's talking about misleaders who lead their followers into a stone boat. Right? They're stepping into a bow which is made of stone. And they're saying to everybody, come with me. So, as we know, a boat made of stone is not going to stay on the surface very long. Especially when the additional weight of the more followers, the quicker it will go down. So he's stepping in, and he's calling all his followers. You know, it's like the example of the verse, Natevidu svarta katim hi vishnum darasha ye bahirata manana anda yatandara upaniyamanas te pishitantram urudamni bada. Right? And persons who are entrapped by the consciousness of material enjoyment, enjoying material life, and have accepted as their leader or spiritual master a similarly blind man who's attached to sense gratification, they do not know that the goal of life is to render devotional service to the Supreme Lord Vishnu and to go back home, back to Godhead. As blind men led by another blind man, they miss the right path and they fall into the ditch. Similarly, materially attached men led by other materially attached men, they are bound by the ropes of their fruitive labor, which is made of very strong cords. And therefore, they have to undergo materialistic life, birth and death, again and again and again. This verse, also, very glaring, profound. Speaking the same point. One point is entering the stone boat and sinking very quickly. The other is following a blind person. And it's explained that persons who are trapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life, they'll accept somebody, similarly materially attached man, as their leader. Or as Bhagavatam says, men who are like hogs, dogs, camels and asses. Right? They glorify those men who are never absorbed in hearing or discussing the pastimes of the Lord. In other words, persons who are hogs, dogs, mentality of hogs, dogs, camels and asses, they glorify those who are better hogs, dogs, camels, and asses than they are. Just see. We've tried so hard to be very good hog, dog, camel, and ass. But look at his accomplishment, his achievement. And they glorify. They're never interested. They're only interested of enjoying their achievements. They're interested in self-indulgent and interested in enjoying simply their own achievements that they've been able to accomplish either by political maneuvering, as Prabhupada talks here, by through political maneuvering. What does he say at the end of the purport? Political maneuvering and diplomacy will not save you. So he gives the example that when human society is led by persons who got into some high position and then who fight by political maneuvering and diplomacy to keep their power, their position, and control. Because wherever there's power, there's control. Wherever there's control, there's exploitation. So Prabhupada is taking this verse also in a greater context of human society. An example is given in the Bhagavatam, Krishna book, in the description of the autumn season, that in the autumn season, due to the presence of clouds in the sky, then sometimes the luminaries, the real luminaries, the stars and the moon in the sky cannot be seen. And people mistake the glowworms in the trees to be the real luminaries. And the example is given that that's like compared to be like in the age of Kali, is like a cloud-like period of time where people in human society, they do not recognize those who have sufficient merit to be ideal leaders. And therefore they glorify and recognize simply the glowworms in the trees who actually have no ability to spread light, to illuminate the consciousness of their dependents in any way. They're simply, what are they doing? They're promoting, yes, we will grow. We will become powerful. I will protect you. Right? That's definitely a very common political platform for power. I will protect your interests. Prabhupada speaks about the American people here in the commentary. He uses them specifically. Although, unfortunately, although the American people are extremely eager to get out of materialistic chaos, they're sometimes found to patronize the makers of stone boats. And what are these makers of stone? I will protect you. Through political maneuvering and diplomacy, I will protect you from so many disasters. But what can they do? How can they give protection? They are fallible soldiers, is also described as the Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavatam. They cannot give real protection. Only the Supreme Lord can give protection, and only those who induce others to take shelter of the Lord and learn how to depend upon Him and increase faith in the Lord can actually give protection. Prahlad Maharaj also says, Balasya Neha Sharanam Pitaro Nishingha, the verse in the Bhagavatam, where he's praying his prayers to Lord Nisringadev. He says, O my Lord Nisringadev, O Supreme, persons in a bodily conception of life, someone help me, I forgot the translation of this verse. He describes that persons who are in the bodily conception of life, they do not know that only the Supreme Lord can give them protection. And they're neglected and not cared. They're neglected and not cared for by the Lord. That's what Prahlad Maharaj says. Such persons are neglected and not cared for by the Lord. And he gives the example that nobody can protect someone who doesn't take shelter of the Lord. He gives the example of the mother and father. They cannot rescue the child. An expert physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient. And the boat in the water cannot rescue a drowning man. Right? And Prahlad Maharaj gives that example. Such persons are not protected by the Lord. He says that just like a person who's diseased, he may require some medicine. And some doctor, expert physician comes and says, I have medicine to cure you. So he may be suffering so intensely, but he feels temporary relief. He says such persons, they try to get temporary relief. And just like a patient gets temporary relief by knowing a great doctor and great medicine has come, entered his room. So temporarily he feels relieved. But does that mean he won't die? No. Or such persons who are drowning in the ocean, the boat may be there, but does it mean that they'll be rescued? Just like it just recently. So many planes were flying over a mountain in the northwest United States looking for climbers. They had gone up the mountain. And then they sent a distress signal to their family members. And the family members immediately arranged so many planes, helicopters, looking all over. And certainly the family members were all thinking, they have hope now. our brothers or our husbands will be found. So although they were hovering over the mountain looking for the climbers, and they were feeling some temporary relief, when they finally found one of them, he had already expired. The other two were never found. So does it mean simply because the helicopters and planes and all the equipment of looking for heat detection to look for their bodies was all there, does that mean that they'll be rescued? No. So the example that Prahlad Maharaj gives is that people look for temporary relief. And the leaders of society, they're always promoting these temporary measures to relieve the people. And everybody is patronizing the manufacturers of stone boats, as Prahlad says, as Prabhupada says. They're patronizing them. Because they cannot offer any kind of protection. Only ultimately, protection is given by the Lord. And protection, it can be given by those who have taken shelter of the Lord. Those who have taken shelter of the Lord, they can give real protection. Because of having taken shelter of the Lord, they can give the shelter to others. Only those who have taken shelter can give shelter. That is essentially the point that is being made here in this verse. The example is that Indra became proud, and he was thinking that his position was secure because he had taken shelter of his external opulences and worship. Ah, just see how many loyal worshippers I have. Just see my opulence, my power, my control. So many times due to that pride, Indra has committed. Examples of even the whole Govardhan Leela, we understand, it was due to Indra's pride. Thinking that of his position of power and strength and control. And therefore, not able to recognize a superior, becoming blind, intoxicated. Just like Nalakuvra and Manigriva, they were intoxicated. They could not recognize when Narada Muni came to that place. They were so intoxicated by their wealth. Although they were enjoying with heavenly damsels who immediately recognized a great saintly person and they covered themselves, but they did not do it. They failed to cover themselves and to offer proper respect. And the result is that they were cursed by Narada. And he was explaining to them that when such persons become intoxicated by wealth, they become so much absorbed in the bodily conception of life. And therefore, their vision is, they're blinded by their bodily conception of life, and then they cannot see properly. So he said, because of your pride, because of what you have done, failed to recognize, he says, therefore, best, ordinarily such wealthy persons, the best thing they need is to become impoverished. Because when a person is impoverished and knows the pain of poverty, then he can feel compassion to another person who is similarly in poverty. Whereas a wealthy person, he thinks, no, I'm not suffering. He may not feel that same compassion. I think the example that he gives is that when a person has been pricked by pins, when a person is pricked by pins and knows the pain of being pricked, and he sees pain in others' face, immediately he can understand what that person's going through. So he gives that example with Nalakuvra and Manigriva. He said, better you be reduced to this impoverished position, although because you've become excessively proud by your wealth. So they were cursed. Of course, it was a benediction curse by Narada Muni. But they were cursed and to become two trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, to be ultimately delivered by the Lord. So much evidence is given there in the scriptures of what happens. Well, this is another story. The story of Miniketan Ramdas, right? There's another example. Minikatana Ramdas, he was a great devotee of Lord Nityananda. He was empowered, actually, by Lord Nityananda. So much empowered that anyone who came in contact with him immediately felt as if they were getting Nityananda's mercy. And he would spread his mercy in very strange, apparently strange ways, by slapping people on the back, jumping on people's backs, hitting them with his flute. And people would, and when he entered this place, I guess it was the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj, his brother's home. You know, he had entered that place and he was in the back and he was doing all of these things, experiencing total ecstasy with his absorption in the mood of Nityananda. And Gunanava Mishra, the pujari, was there and he did not recognize the presence. He did not offer proper respect. And Miniketana Ramdas, he says, oh, just see. He gives the example. Now we have the same Romaharshan Sutta, who did not offer proper respect to Lord Balaram when he entered the assembly. Same example is there. Miniketana Ramdas, again, said the same thing. But Gunanava Mishra, he was busy performing his puja. He took it lightly. He did not consider it to be very significant when Miniketana Ramdas made such a statement. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he describes that how he became very disturbed with his brother. And he actually got in an argument with his brother because he was trying to told his brother, he said, don't you understand that this Miniketana Ramdas, he is as good as Nityananda. He says, a person who does not accept Nityananda, if a person accepts Lord Chaitanya, but he doesn't accept Lord Nityananda, he gives the example, better to be an offender, an atheist, and not worship both of them, than to be a hypocrite, to accept one and not the other. Chastise his brother. Because he had not given proper respect to Miniketana Ramdas when he entered the assembly, simply because he did not correct his Gunanava Mishra for his failure to offer suitable respect. And then Miniketana Ramdas, he broke his flute and he left that place. Of course, that was described as the cause of downfall for the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And that night, in a dream, Lord Nityananda appeared to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He was very pleased because he had taken a strong position, chastising his brother. And Nityananda instructed Krishnadas Kaviraj to go to Vrindavan. Immediately, that moment, immediately he quit that place and left and went to Vrindavan by the mercy of Nityananda. So, we have to learn from all of these examples the great danger. Essentially, we have to learn the danger of pride. And to understand that until we become free from pride, there's always that danger of not offering suitable respect to a superior, to a personality who should be offered respect. We should not judge a person's position by his externals. What is the characteristic or criteria of somebody being superior is not necessarily based upon his opulence, his position, his power, or by his number of followers. We have to not use this type of external criteria to recognize somebody who is superior, but we have to understand the person's superiority is based upon his ability to give shelter and to instill faith in devotional service to the Lord in the hearts of others. Such a person can give real shelter. Following such persons to instill faith in the heart, then we can understand that their ability to instill faith is not because of their position externally. How can one instill faith in the Lord? Only one who has deeply taken shelter of the Lord. Otherwise, one who's taking a position of leadership, if it is still, as Balad Maharaj says, still entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life, then he's blind. He cannot give shelter to others. Similarly, we're giving the example, recently we're giving the example of the marketplace of the Holy Name. And we oftentimes hear the analogy that in the marketplace of the Holy Name, the real valuable commodity is faith. Everyone is looking for more faith. Even those who have faith, deep faith, they're looking for even just a small amount of faith in somebody so they can fan it and increase it. Which means in the marketplace of the Holy Name, what is valuable is faith. Material currency has no value whatsoever. It can only purchase something which is not real, not genuine. False currency. So, material position, pride, opulence, wealth, these things cannot purchase that which is most valuable, faith. Only if one has even a little faith, just as Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the example, if Lord Nityananda sees a little tear in one's eye when he chants the name of Gauranga, just a little faith, then he's very much inclined to bestow the Holy Name imbued with all potencies upon that person to deliver him pure Holy Name and ecstatic love of God because of that little faith. So those who have great faith, they're always looking to how to increase the faith of others. That is actually the work of Guru. The work of Guru is how to increase their faith in the Holy Name of the Lord. How to increase their faith in surrendering to Krishna, giving up all external trappings, thinking that I'm safe and protected and sheltered, being surrounded by family, friends, and society. He's always thinking how to increase. And those who have a little faith, they're always looking, who's got that faith so I can get more of it? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the example that if you want to get more faith, you have to invest something to get it. Right? Any person knows if you have a little money and you want to become wealthy, you have to invest your money to get more wealth. Any businessman knows that. If you don't invest your money won't increase. And I was giving the example, and as I had seen in America, just before I left, there was a big billboard with Donald Trump. His face was on the billboard, and many other big, big entrepreneurs who've made millions and millions of dollars. And they were giving a big seminar from city to city, going from one city, and people were paying large sums of money to go and associate with them. Right? Well, how do they associate? They want to hear. They want to associate with such Mahatmas. How can I use my paltry money and invest it and become like them? They did it. They're acharyas. They did it. If I associate with them and hear from them how to invest, then I become like them. So they'll spend whatever money they have, even if it means everything. It's a good investment. I'll get good returns. That's how they think. So just as a materialistic person thinks how to invest his whatever amount of money he has to get good returns, similarly, one who knows the criteria of what's valuable, they know how to invest their faith. They're looking for a solid investment. Why does Donald Trump get so many people to come hear from him? Because he's got money. So similarly, those who have faith, have deep faith in the Holy Name of the Lord, those who have deep faith in strictly following the order of the spiritual master, they can give faith to others. We should invest our faith in them. By investing our faith in them, we get good return. What happens? Our faith will increase. Very good investment. But we shouldn't place our faith in the manufacturers of stone boats. We should place our faith in those who have implicit faith and can awaken that faith in others. That process of awakening faith is an ongoing process in Krishna consciousness. It takes its birth in the heart of the living entity by association with a Vaishnava. But once it takes its birth, it needs to be nourished. It needs to be protected. It needs to grow. Therefore, we always seek out the association of those devotees who help our faith in the Guru and Krishna grow more and more. That association is essential. And we invest faith in them by hearing from them, by serving them. Such persons who can awaken faith in others, they can give protection. But they must be free from pride. They must be freed from all these external trappings, from the conception of enjoying this material world. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya teaches, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam bhajagirishu kamaye. I do not want wealth. I do not want followers. I do not want to enjoy beautiful women. I only want devotional service, birth after birth after birth. Therefore, a person who has proper vision, who's not blinded by his intoxication, he can recognize if somebody else has that ability to awaken faith. Shouldn't judge others simply because they're external trappings, but we have to see as with proper spiritual vision. Who is capable of awakening this faith? And who is capable of nourishing this faith and ultimately in surrender to the holy name of the Lord? That type of faith, that is real Shraddha. Shraddha Shabde Vishvash Kahi Suryodhanis Jaya Krishna Bhakti Kali Savakama Kritahaya. That is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The real Shraddha, faith, it means you have complete faith that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord and by executing devotional service of the Lord, automatically all our secondary, subsidiary activities are all fulfilled. This type of faith is essential for advancement in Krishna consciousness. This type of faith in pure devotional service is what will carry that living entity on the progressive path back home, back to Godhead. But if we don't place our faith properly, and whatever little faith we have, then, as explained right here, leaders who have fallen into ignorance and who mislead people by directing to the path of destruction. What is that path of destruction? By turning their attention away from those who actually have the ability to give shelter. That is, the example is being given. What happened with Indra? He was surrounded by all his worshippers, followers. Everybody was looking at him. And he, the senior leader, did not offer proper respect to his own spiritual master when he entered the assembly. Therefore, what happened? As explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when great souls are mistreated, what do they lose? They lose their duration of life, their opulences, their religion, their reputation, their possessions. And what is the last? Good fortune. Good fortune. Everything lost due to blindness. Therefore, we should become very careful and we should understand this principle. To not fall into the trap of judging others by external criteria. But we should simply understand the real criteria is how much faith they actually have in Guru and Krishna. That is their criteria. Just as Shuklambhara Brahmachari was judged because externally appeared to be like a beggar. Everybody who is proud of their wealth worships the god of Chandi. They were making fun of him. Look at the beggar. But Shukambara did not even know the meaning of poverty, because he was always blissful and joyfully chanting the holy name of the Lord. His real wealth, his real position was understood by Lord Chaitanya, who immediately came and accepted from him a few broken grains of rice, even before he offered it. He wanted to accept from his hands, because Lord Chaitanya recognized. He sees, he has the ability to see and understand the person's heart. Just as he recognized that Brahmana who was incapable of properly reading Bhagavad Gita, sitting every day, but he was illiterate, but tears would come to his eyes and people would ridicule, make fun of the Brahmana. Just see this Brahmana, so-called Brahmana, reading Bhagavad Gita, but he can't even hold the book properly, doesn't even know if it's right side up or whatever. But Lord Chaitanya immediately recognized, why are there tears in your eyes? He said, when I see this picture of Krishna and Arjuna, I see how wonderful Krishna is to become chariot driver of his devotee. How wonderful, merciful Krishna is to instruct his devotee Arjuna in this way. It brings tears to my eyes. And Lord Chaitanya picked him up and embraced him and said, you are the real knower of Bhagavad Gita. To everyone else, he looked like an illiterate. To Lord Chaitanya, he was gold. Because he was the real knower of Bhagavad Gita. The most priceless treasure held in the embrace of the arms of the Lord with tears. This is the proper vision we have to cultivate for increasing our own faith in the process of devotional service, and we should be prepared to always do or to properly exercise our independence to do that which is right and to always increase faith in others in the process of devotional service and to encourage them to take shelter of those who can do so. Then one will not have to meet the same fate as Indra had to meet due to his offense to Brihaspati. So I have to end here. I have a flight to catch and there's no time for questions. I have to forgive me because I have to go to the airport. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.